say, in conjunction with the fourth greatest revelation I've received since becoming a Christian. Now, we're not going to put anything up but number four. Jamin, I'm going to review real quick. Of all the revelations that we've discussed in the past, if y'all were here last week, you can help me with this. Of all the revelations we've discussed in the past, 1, 2, and 3, did I get those directly from reading my Bible and God speaking that into my heart? Yes. This one here came to me through a man, but it still got into my heart to where it's my own revelation. You can't live off of somebody else's revelation. You've got to have revelation knowledge for yourself if you're going to succeed in life, because the devil doesn't play fair. Are you listening to me? But thank God Jesus whipped him. Now, I want to say something, because it's something the Lord impressed upon me. As human beings who are born again, our spirits are made in the righteousness and holiness of Almighty God. But last week, if you'll remember, we left off and talked about the heart. And the heart is made up of two parts. The heart's made up of the spirit, and the spirit's perfect. The spirit is complete. The spirit is holy. The spirit is healed. The spirit is delivered. The soul makes up your mind, your will, your personality, amen, and your emotions. You're not always going to win in your soul. Are you listening to me? You're not always going to win in your soul, because how many of you out there are always in the spirit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? I can tell you how to get out of the spirit real quick. Just get in your car and drive somewhere. Sierra Vista may have the worst drivers in the history of humanity. Or go up to Phoenix and figure out that people don't understand that you're supposed to go in the right lane if you're not going to go faster. And it doesn't make me mad at all, because, you know, I'm never in a hurry. So you're going to lose some battles, but thank God Jesus won the war. Are you listening to me? And I don't know if that helps you, but it helps me tremendously. And it doesn't mean that you want to lose, but I'm just telling you that the only perfect person that walked it all out and earned eternal life was Jesus Christ. We get eternal life as a gift because he earned it. He gave us his present. Amen. Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, this is the revelation that I got. Faith is not something you do to, and by the way, I apologize for my voice. Yesterday morning, I got bold and decided I was going to go for my 5-mile walk, and I underestimated how cold and windy it was. A half a mile in, I wanted to go back home and wrap up in some blankets in my Easy Boy or Lazy Boy or whatever that is. But I fought through it, but it got windy, man. I was in shorts, but I put on a little covering up at the top, but I think I got a little of that cold air into my lungs, and so I apologize for that. But here's my revelation. And I finished the 5 miles. Actually, faster than I've ever done it. But you know why? I was freezing. Daddy had to get home. Faith, here it is. Faith is not something you do to get God to do something. And again, this takes some thought. This takes some meditation. This takes some study. Faith is not something you do to get God to do something. Faith is just your positive response to what God has already accomplished by grace. If you get a hold of that, it'll change your whole life, because you'll find out it's so much easier to release something you have than to try to get something you think you don't have. Right? I went to Fry's yesterday and bought shrimp and crab legs for that wonderful child of mine that likes to have seafood on the holidays. Amen. If I went in there with no money, my legs would be shaking, right? But I knew I had the money. So was I nervous about going to the checkout counter? Now, I left the shrimp there and had to go back and get it. I did, really. But I wasn't nervous because I had the money to pay for the food. If I didn't have the money to pay for the food, I would think I had somehow to get it, and I would be anxious and nervous, and I wouldn't get it because Fry's wouldn't just give it to me. Are you listening to me? So what I'm going to start out with, I'm going to incorporate this into the Christmas story. And every Christmas, I start out with this verse. And I wish we had some little kids here a little bit, because some of y'all aren't going to relate to this. Maybe, and Jeremy, I don't mean you that you're little by any means. I've seen you play basketball. You're not little at all. Nobody's little anymore. Y'all grew up on me. Amen. But I always start out with this verse of scripture in Luke. And it says, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, in the region of Trachonitis, something like that, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, Texas. Man, we got somebody in Abilene, Texas. And I'm going to finish the verse. Verse 2, while Annas and Caiaphas were high priest, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. How many of you has ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Get it up. Get it up. Look, Jordan got two hands up. Man, I wonder how many times you've been lying to me. Are you really going to work? This one over here, never took a school bus to school, and we didn't figure it out until about 6 months into the semester. I came home from work early, and the school bus came and let them off, and Anna wasn't nowhere on the bus. And here comes a young man in a Jeep transporting Anna off at the bus stop. Amen. And, of course, I didn't get mad, did I? I said, shoot, no. But anyway, have you ever told a lie? The worst thing you can do when you lie is to bring somebody else in on your lie. You know why that's dangerous? Because you can go to the other person, and then that other person has to cover you, and either they tell the truth or then they have to lie. So if you're really going to tell a lie, the smart thing to do is not say any names. So I always use this humorously. If we went to Luke 3:1 of this text and said, now, a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, in the 15th year of the reign of Darcidius, amen, General Grievous being governor of Judea. Let's see, who else? Loki being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Thor, tetrarch of Iturea in the region of Trachonitis, and, oh, Thanos. We should have put Thanos up there as a ruler. And Thanos, tetrarch of Abilene. If that was what was in the Bible, could that be verified? No, why? Because it's all made up. Is there really such a thing as Darcidius? Is there really such a thing as General Grievous? Is there really such a thing as Thanos? But here's my question. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, was Tiberius Caesar reigning Rome in the 15th year? The answer is, was Pontius Pilate the governor of Judea? Was Herod the tetrarch of Galilee? Was Philip the tetrarch of Iturea? Was Licinius the tetrarch of Abilene, Texas, between Midland and El Paso? Was he? Wait a minute, verse 2. Was Annas and Caiaphas the high priest? Could this be verified? Are these historical facts? Is Luke trying to lie to us? Does Luke put this in here because you can go back and verify it? Listen to me by radio or internet. You can deny Jesus. You can ignore Jesus. But Jesus Christ is a historical figure of history. He lived. He died. He rose again. And he's coming back. And these guys didn't write this stuff and make it up. These guys wrote this stuff because the Spirit of God inspired them to tell you the greatest story ever told. Can I get an amen? And I guess what we say, I guess you just can't say it in church, I guess. I don't know. Because this is the gospel. So let's go to the Christmas story. I always think of Charlie Brown when I read this. I know you're supposed to think of Jesus, but I do always think of Charlie Brown. I think it was Linus that preached the gospel. Do you notice they take that Charlie Brown special off now? Now it's Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I've had all of Rudolph and all of Frosty I ever want to know about. Are they made up? Are there any such thing as reindeer coming down and giving you presents? You know, if you were thinking at all, if you had any thinking at all, and you went to the mall and you saw Santa Claus taking pictures with your kids, you'd have to wonder, now, how's he going to get from there to California tomorrow night? I knew we'll forget as long as I live. This is when I quit believing in Santa. Mama took me down there, and we were going to sit on Santa's lap. And, of course, you know, if you're going to make Santa Claus, at least make him look somewhat reasonable. The fellow that was playing Santa Claus had one of them old taped-on beards, and I could see his brown mustache underneath of it. And then I said to Mama, I said, Mama, isn't that the guy that runs the Hobbs grocery store, retail store? She said, oh, son, do you think that's who it is? I said, Mama, I don't think that's who it is. I know that's who it is. She said, son, I might as well tell you there isn't no such thing as Santa Claus. And you know what? I never told my kids there was Santa Claus. I told my kids that they got their stuff from Mama and Daddy through the blessing of Almighty God. My sweet daughter, who's 40, I'm 64, she's 44, she liked to never turn loose of telling them boys they weren't Santa Claus. I thought they'd believe it till they're 21. Come on now. There is a Santa Claus. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, but his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen with me? So let's read the famous story from Luke's gospel, and then we're going to incorporate it into the revelation of grace and faith. We're going to incorporate it into that revelation. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Just keep going, Jamin. It's right in a row here. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. No, I mean, you got to let me read it, though. You got to let me read it, though. All right. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they, of course, as usual, they were greatly afraid. Everybody's been afraid since Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. As soon as they sinned, the first thing they did was hide from God. God's not hiding from us. We're hiding from Him. Write it down. Don't forget it. Now you can read verse 10, or I'll read it. Then the angel said to them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. See, you got to read the Bible, you know, with some vigor, and don't just read, the angel of the Lord said to them, don't be afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Who is that? It's God. It's Christ the Lord. It's God. And this will be a sign to you. You will find him at the Hilton Hyatt Regency Resort, land by a swimming pool. Amen. And you'll see that he's got on all kinds of good, fine, fancy clothes from Macy's and Nordstrom. That's what you're going to find, right? You're going to find out that, man, his mom and daddy were loaded with cash. They weren't loaded with money. They were poor people. They got rich because God sent some wise men to them about 2 years later. Boy, you're talking about somebody that would get mad about the wise men being in the nativity scene. Frederick K.C. Price went off on that. Put those wise men, get them out of there. They don't show up till 2 years later, and they bring in gold, frankincense, and myrrh because God always pays you back if you do something for him. That's big money they got. Do you know that? But at this time, they didn't have it. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Nobody will get that forever. The creator of the universe was lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Let's say it all together. Verse 14, let's say it all together. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Don't think for a moment that this is talking about peace and goodwill between men and men. Men have been fighting ever since the fall of man. There's always been wars and rumors of wars. There's always been conflict between men, because Jesus said himself, and I won't go there because of time, and I only use Matthew's version, because if you use Luke's version, there's a word in there that's going to get all of you tore up. But at least Matthew says this: don't think that I came to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. I'm going to divide people. You're either going to believe in me or you're going to believe in the devil. You're either going to believe in me or you're going to believe in your own self-righteousness. In my walk yesterday, gosh, bless America and thank you, Jesus, some woke person's got a sign up that says we need to love all people. We need to love everybody. Black people, which I certainly agree with, white people, transgender people, people that have different sexual preferences. We need to love everybody, and we need to love our governor. And as I was walking by, I said to myself, every bit of that, almost every bit of that is a complete violation of Scripture. It's anti-God. You see, it was wrong the way the white person treated black people in the South and probably everywhere during the time of slavery. And I mean, horrid stuff, terrible stuff, stuff that we needed to repent and apologize for, and we did. Are you listening to me? So hating somebody based on their skin color is evil. Now let me say this to all the black folks that's listening to me by radio and internet. I know I got a few of you. I don't have my town. I'm not waving it, and I'm not sweating, and I'm not saying hallelujah. But let me tell you, the black people that's listening, this country's actually become more racist towards white people now than black people. You can't hardly find a white man in a commercial to save your life. Are you listening to me? You know, we still buy bread, beer, amen, insurance. What I'm pointing out is it's the sinful nature of man that makes us racist. And when there's more white people than there are black people, they'll dominate black people. Are you listening to me? But what we did, and what Democrats did, and what liberal wokes did, is we took things that were wrong on the basis of race and made it right on the basis of behavior. You can't condone wrong behavior and call that discrimination. When somebody is allowing their children to have their body parts cut off, that is not racial, that's wrong. Are you listening to me? And it's a violation of Scripture. God made us male and female. It's a violation of Scripture for you to have sexual relations with people of the same sex. A man shall leave his husband and wife, and they should be joined together and become one flesh. See? It's got nothing to do with skin color. It's behavior. And Christian people are hated in this country because we're the only people that are standing up for the right behavior. And not enough of us are doing that. Not enough. Not enough. It would shock you. It would discourage you if you knew how many Christian people went into that booth on the last presidential election and pulled the lever for Joe Biden just because the media talked them into thinking that Donald Trump is a racist and evil. And this is what you got. This is what you got. A senile old man that don't know a thing in the world what he's doing. He's a puppet. He's a front man for whoever is running this country. Can I get an amen? Does this fit into the Christmas message? It does in this church, and that's why we don't have a big crowd. And we'll never have a big crowd. Because I'm never going to stand up and tell people that, oh, you poor, sweet, terrible thing. It's so terrible what's going on, but God's got a reason for it. No, he doesn't. You got to stand up. You got to be bold. You got to be strong. If I've done something wrong, I've got to admit it. If somebody else has done something wrong, I've got to admit it. If the devil whipped me on something, I've got to admit it. Don't go over. We watched the show last night, and God bless America, there's nothing worse. Listen to me, folks. In all of life, there's nothing worse than losing your child prematurely or losing your husband prematurely. Are you listening to me? Sometimes I feel bad I don't point that out enough with Becky. Nothing worse than that. There ain't nothing worse than that. But God didn't do it. This fellow was on the show, and he's a good man. He's a quality man. He won the Dove Award. And he lost his firstborn son. He lost him. And I don't know the details. He called him a wild child, and I don't know what that means. But ultimately what they did is they put it over on God, and he was talking to his wife from the platform, and he says, we still don't know why God allowed this. We still don't know why. See, what you got to do is have enough courage to say, you know what? We lost that one. And in eternity, I'm going to be with him forever. Are you listening to me? And I'm not saying you get over it. I'm not saying you get over it. But identify the purpose. Identify the reason. Have the courage to identify the reason. We live in a world that's not perfect. We live in a world where accidents can happen. We live in a world where you can be texting on your phone and run into another car. That wasn't what God wanted. We live in a world where you can do certain things that cause damage to your body, to your mind, to your emotions. God didn't do it. Have the courage to stand up and say, the devil with me this time, but bless God, God, the Lord Jesus Christ won the war. And you can't preach that in church. You can't do it. They won't let you do it. Because it's so, everybody was enraptured by the fact that he was so sweet and so genuine, and he was, but he was also under the current of it, he was also saying that God allowed it and God controlled it. God doesn't want my kids dead prematurely. He don't. He don't want me dead prematurely. Thank God. Are you listening to me? And you can't tell this to church people. Say this verse one more time. I might get in the Christmas spirit. Here we go. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. So how does this fit in with my revelation of faith? How does this fit in with the revelation that faith, you're with me, Jamin, you're with me, that faith is not something you do to get God to do something. Faith is just your positive response to what God has already accomplished by grace. Okay, put up Luke 2:14, and this is grace. This is grace. Nobody deserved this. We weren't looking for God. We're all guilty before God. There's none of us righteous. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. Each of us has turned to our own way. But by grace, God sends his Son into the earth in the likeness of sinful flesh, as the second Adam, and by grace, he's going to redeem us and save us and deliver us from the wrath of God and from the snare of the devil. That's what he's going to do, by grace. We didn't earn it. Nobody was asking for him. He came because he wanted to. It was by grace that Jesus was born in that manger. It was the grace of God. It was the love of God. It was the mercy of God. It was his commitment to humanity. It was because his prized creation gave in to that rotten snake, and God was going to come and do it himself because nobody else could do it, because nobody else had the right nature. All of us are born with a sin nature. Sooner or later, sin will get you. See, the singers had it wrong. Remember that song? Every time I say it, the song pops in my head. Sooner or later, love is going to get you. That's not always true, is it, Anna? Get her a tissue. Get her a tissue. Get her a tissue. You probably don't want to get her a tissue, do you? No, he's not. Let her suffer. Let her suffer. Amen. This is all by grace. So look what these verses say. I'm going to take you through these verses and get you through this and help you with this. And listen, I got some people that are listening on a regular, consistent basis on the radio and on the internet. So I'm not going to get discouraged. And this message, you can't tell church people this. You got to tell the average person this, because some of them will cling on to it. Some of them, not all of them, some of them. Amen. Now, here we go. Next verse in the lineup. It's very interesting. Listen, this is very interesting. So by grace, Jesus comes. We all agree with that? Did we deserve him coming? Did we earn him coming? In this is love, not that we love God. Everybody say that. In your sinful nature, you don't love God. Before you were born again, you didn't love God. You know who you love probably more than anybody? Yourself. Or some person, but most people are the thing they got to be saved from is from themselves. I absolutely needed to be saved from myself. To be honest with you, in my soul, I need to be saved every day. Every day. The saving of the soul is a renewing of the mind. It's a process. It's a continual, lifelong process. And you'll never get there unless you get committed to God's word. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Who did the loving? But that he loved us and sent his son to be, that word's a hard word, and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Grace came because grace loved. Or let me say, I got that wrong. Love came because God's grace wanted to be poured out on humanity, even in the depth of our sin. Even when we were not savable, the love of God caused the grace of God to come so that we could get rescued out of this rotten, stinking, evil world. Amen. And it's one of the things that I'm learning. Oh, it's a process, and I'm learning it, and I'm enjoying learning it. There's just so many things that are so wrong that we allow ourselves to do on a regular, consistent basis. Somebody said, what are those? None of your business. I'm not into your business. Don't get into mine. Next verse, watch this. But God demonstrates. Say that word, demonstrates. In other words, you can, how many of you are, and it's a good thing to have in a family. It's a good thing. When you talk to a family member, like me and Jordan will talk, and he's at work, and at the end of it, I'll say, I love you, and he says he loves me. How much feeling's in that? Come on. Love you. Teresa and me talk on the phone all the time. I'm always questioning her about things I need to fix on my computer at work, because I'm a computer genius. And then, here's what you need to do, or here's what's happening, or this and that. Love you. How much feeling's in that? Huh? Now, is it a good thing to say I love you rather than to say, you know, I can't stand you? Boy, I hope you don't come home tonight. My gosh, stay away. I mean, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to say, but is there a lot of feeling in that? How are you going to really know, Anna, that somebody loves you? They're going to demonstrate it. If you go out to supper with your date and you buy a meal and he asks you to go Dutch, he don't really love you. Amen? You got to demonstrate some love. Man, I demonstrated all the love I could on Teresa. Amen? Honey, what you need to eat today? I'll be there. Amen? You got to demonstrate love. It's not just words. See, it's not just words. People say, I love you. Do they ever demonstrate love for you? Sometimes. And if you're in a decent marriage, you should see some demonstration of love. If you're in a decent relationship with your kids, you should see some demonstration of love. But have I demonstrated love all the time to Anna and Jordan? No, we've took them around the world. In 180 days. We've took them everywhere. And we'll talk to them. We'll say, what's the one thing you remember the most about our trips? And you know what they say? I remember when you got mad at Mama for not packing your toothbrush. So So Disneyland wasn't any good. Disney World wasn't any good. Rocky Point wasn't any good. Cancun wasn't any good. Where are you at over here? Don't you look at me like that. Oh, I remember. I remember when you made me a bowl of clam chowder, Dad. And I put it in, I made a bad mistake. I put it in the microwave and I put it in one of them plastic bowls. And I reached up there to get that clam chowder. It was all the way up to the top. And that thing, I pulled that clam chowder out. And that thing spilled on me. And I cussed. Let everybody know that I cussed. And then after I cussed, because I was hot, I cussed. Because what in the world do you need clam chowder for anyway? Huh? You don't need clam chowder. Why can't you just have a sandwich? Did I demonstrate love? Boy, I hope y'all can at least sometime in your life lay in a bed and say, you know, all things considered, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. You never been hungry. Amen. You never been cold. Although in our house you might be now. Mama's decided to keep the temperature about 55. I won't tell you why, but Becky knows. I'm like, honey, for Christmas I want a heater for the bathroom. Get me a floor heater for that thing. I got to come out of there with some warmth. I'm the quickest toweler off you'll ever see in your life. But God, oh, say it. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Man, even when I didn't deserve it, he demonstrated it. Somebody said, How'd he demonstrate it? I'm not happy. My life's a mess. How'd he demonstrate it? Get in that book and find out what went on at that cross. Find out what he became for you. Find out what he did for you. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Every Christmas season, I go through Luke's gospel. It's got 24 chapters in it. So I finished it up today. But I'll tell you something the Lord really showed me in my imagination. I remember that they came and they arrested Jesus and they beat him and they whipped him and they mocked him and they spit on him and they put a crown of thorns on his head. But I thought about this. There was a period of time that he had to stay in a dungeon before they took him to the high priest, before they took him to Pontius Pilate. And I don't know, God just showed me a picture. Here's the creator of the universe that could call fire down from heaven and wipe the whole place out. See, God could have just wiped the whole place out and just start over. Because the covenant he made was with Adam. Adam broke the covenant. So God wasn't obligated. God wasn't obligated because Adam's the one who broke the covenant. Think about that. The creator of the universe is in that dungeon waiting to be crucified, waiting to become sin, waiting for God to put all of the wrath of humanity on him so that he could give all of his righteousness to us. The human brain can't comprehend it. I can't. Just seeing him in there, knowing that he's in there, knowing he's by himself. We all forsook him. Everybody forsook him. Everybody left him. His best friends turned their back on him. I asked God one time, I said, why in the world in the four Gospels do you always tell about Peter screwing up? You know, every time you tell about Peter, he said, son, nothing anybody will do will be anything worse than Peter did. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration with me. He saw me. He saw the glory of God. He saw me walk on water, and he walked on water for a few minutes. And he denied who I was, and not only did he deny who I was, he cussed about it, Jordan. He said, I don't know who that blankety blank guy is. He said, son, that's why that's in there, because I want everybody to know there's nothing you did that can't be forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, man. Next verse, my phone, look, my watch thinks I'm on a workout. Man, I'm preaching too hard. Are you on a workout? Should I track it? All right, let's rehearse real quick these verses. I want everybody to see this in relation to the fourth revelation. 1 John 4:10, Jamie, we're going to rehearse real quick. All right, was this grace? Was this grace? Everybody cool with that? Was this grace? Did we earn it? Did we deserve it? No. Romans 5:8. Was this grace? Yes. Yes. So, how do I get the grace of God that's already been done for me? How do I get it appropriated into my life? I'm going to give it to you right now. But in Romans chapter 10, I'm going to give it to you. And I got it by revelation from Almighty God. Nobody taught it to me. I've heard people preach it, but God gave it. God, see, I got in the Word of God, and God showed me this. So here it is. So now we understand what God did by grace. Now we have to understand what we have to do by faith. See, it's not just up to God. If it was up to God, everybody'd be saved. Everybody'd already be in heaven. The devil would already be in the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. But it's not just up to God. Billions of people still choose to serve the devil. Can I get an amen? Most of Washington, D.C. still serves the devil. You listening to me? Amen. Now, we got some Christian people up there, and God's going to win. Amen. But we're going to lose some battles, but we're going to win the war. Everybody tracking? Here it is. Now, how do I get it to work for me? How do I make it work for me? If you're listening by radio or internet, how do you make it work for you? Going to church this morning on Christmas Eve, that'll do it. Putting $25 in that bell ringer place at the Salvation Army. They're wearing all kinds of things now. They're pajamas, every kind of thing in the world. And they're sweet people. Bless their hearts, they're sweet people. Here's how it works. Follow me with this. Here we go. Now we see how faith makes grace work. Grace is what God's already done. Faith is how you appropriate it. For Christ, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So keeping the law, trying to do enough good things to get into heaven will not get you there. Everybody's guilty before God by the works of the law. Everybody listening to me? So Christ ended the law. He ended the law because he fulfilled the law. You tracking? He ended the law because he fulfilled the law. Verse 5. For Moses, now watch this now. You got to study it a little bit. You got to study it. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. Ooh, don't do that. You can't. Anybody ever have a bad thought? If you had a bad thought this morning already while I'm preaching, don't say yes. But you've had bad thoughts, right? You've lusted for things, huh? Everybody's had things that they're going to be held accountable to God by if you go to him based on the law. So Moses said, if you're going to do that, you got to do the man who does those things shall live by them. Don't live by that. And don't get bogged down in it. Don't get bogged down in trying to self-will yourself into only doing the right thing. Trust, get a relationship with God and let what God's put inside of you just flow. Let it be a flow. Amen. You can get there. You won't get there if you don't pray, if you don't read your Bible, if you don't fellowship with the right people, but you can get there. I've been there a couple of times in my life. Verse 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. In other words, can any of us ascend into heaven and get Jesus to come down? No, it had to be by the grace of God. We can't make him come down. He chose to come down. You see that? Verse 7. Or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? In other words, we can't do it. We have to fall on the mercy seat of God. We have to go in the most holy place and only claim the mercy of God as justification for us to be there. Billy Graham had it correct. The song was correct, and the words were correct. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Verse 8, here it is. The law of faith is how you get the grace to work. But what does it say? What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Where's the word got to be? Heart and mouth. Heart and mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. How do I get the grace of God to work in my life? By faith. Am I using my faith to get God to do something? No, I'm using my faith to receive what God has already done. Oh, it's the greatest revelation I've ever gotten from anybody other than the Bible. You see that? Verse 9. Here it is. Here's the law. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. See, some people say you got to come down here and you got to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Now listen, there's some truth to that. But really, that's not what the Bible says. What the Bible says is you got to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That you're not Lord. That you weren't able to do it yourself. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. Jesus did it. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Now, the more you make him Lord of your life, the better your life will be. But making Jesus the complete Lord of your life means that nobody goes to heaven. You listening to me? I mean, if that's a requirement that everybody has to make Jesus the complete Lord of their life, that means that from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed, all you did was do stuff that God wanted you to do. Tell me somebody that's done that. Point them out to me. Somebody said, Paul came close. Well, Paul had some trouble. Got mad at Peter, got mad at Mark. Great man, but he knew he wasn't perfect. He knew he could get agitated. When that guy slapped him, when he was witnessing to some people, to the kings, and he was witnessing to them, and the guy slapped him. He got mad. He said, you whitewashed. Amen. No, you got to receive Jesus Christ as God. You got to recognize that he's God and you're not. I understand, Jordan. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. Now, oh my. Oh, Habib was here last week. What did he tell that eunuch when he wanted to get baptized? You got to believe it in your whole heart. You got to believe it in your spirit. You got to believe it in your soul. You got to believe it in your mind, your will, and your emotions. You got to embrace it in totality. Amen. Are you listening by radio or internet? Holy Spirit's ministering to you right now. And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You will be what?
Saved.
You'll be saved. Saved. Verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How did I get the grace of God to work for me? By the law of faith. Did the law of faith make God do something for me? The law of faith only received what God had already done. Verse 11, for the scripture says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your body. You shall come to church every Sunday. You shall glorify the pastor and his wife. You shall pay 10% of everything you make. Is that what it says? For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Verse 11, Jamie. 12. Just checking. For there is no distinction. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Can I get an amen? Merry Christmas. And again, for the Christian, it's Christmas every day. It's Christmas every day. Bless your hearts, and we love these people. Get that little $1.99 baby out of that manger. Amen. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He sits at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. He'll never die again. He'll never suffer again. He's going to come back and rule again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you've been listening by radio or internet and you have not received Jesus as Savior and Lord, what a great day to do it on Christmas Eve. You heard the message. You heard that what you have to do is confess the Lordship of Jesus. You have to confess that He's Lord and that you're not. You have to understand that you can't get to heaven based on your worthiness. You have to get to heaven based on what God did for you by grace. So the Bible says, as many as received Jesus, to them He gave the right to become children of God. And Romans said, like we said this morning, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So don't wait another moment. Don't take another moment of time. Do it right now. Say this prayer with me. Say, "Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is God. I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe that He died for my sins. I believe He rose from the dead for my justification, and I receive Him into my life. And based on the authority of Your word, I am now a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. And I'm going to spend my life learning more about Him and receiving more of Him into my life so I can grow as a Christian and be a positive into my community. It's in the holy and mighty name of Jesus we pray." And everybody said, amen.